Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, listeners. I hope you're well. You are tuned in to yet again another installment of the Beautiful Game podcast and Eurosport collaboration, bringing you coverage of this year's Euros 2020. Now, we have a slightly different episode for you today in that we are going to be previewing the next round of fixtures, which, of course, is the quarterfinals. And we're going to be speaking about our predictions and how we see each of these fixtures going. As ever, I'm your host, Budge. And I'm joined by my faithful co-conspirators, Dot and Ola from Eurosport. Boys, are we very well this morning?
All good, brother.
Good, thank you. Good, thank you.
Great stuff. So let's get into this. And of course, the first game that we need to chat about is the game between England and Ukraine. Interestingly, the only other time England have met Ukraine at a major tournament was in the group stages of Euro 2012. And that game finished 1-0. I know England love a binary score. It's always 0-0, 1-0, all that sort of stuff. But it was courtesy of a Wayne Rooney goal. And Ukraine...
Love Wayne Rooney.
100%. Ukraine have only scored 3 goals in their 7 previous meetings versus England and have never scored more than 1 in a match. Now, of course, we're going to talk about how we anticipate things going and whatnot. But England are going into this game with a very solid record, having not conceded so far at the Euros. Ukraine not scoring more than 1 against England previously. You know, can we see already potentially how this one could end up going? Dot, let us know what your thoughts are on this one going into this.
Yeah, this is going to be one of those games where it's going to be tough. It's going to be physical. I think 1 goal is probably going to do it either way. Mm. Yeah, I don't expect it to be one of the matches of the tournament. I expect it to be very tactical. I expect Ukraine to be defensively solid, you know, compact and not really give England's creative players any space. But I think eventually England's quality will probably shine through and England hopefully get the win.
Mm. 100%. And going to you now, Ola, we were talking a little bit off air about the kind of formation that Southgate goes with. Do you think going into this game is going to be a matter of if it ain't broke, don't fix it, and it's going to be more of the same? And I think for the most part, we are probably all in agreement in terms of the personnel that Southgate is going to go with. But I think that the key question is who is played in those 3 positions behind Harry Kane, who we expect to start up top. And so how do you see that going in terms of the picks for those 3 positions?
It's going to be interesting. I think he's, like we said, like, one, it's hard to predict Gareth Southgate. We can never predict who his lineup is going to be. But so far, he's got it spot on, like almost exactly spot on. And his changes have been also spot on during the match, managing the match as well. With those three behind Harry Kane, we've got a lot of creative, amazing players. A lot of people that we thought we should have seen, but then they're still available on the bench, a lot of fresh legs. But I do think he's going to go with the people that he's played before and he's trusted before. I think Saka's definitely taken his chance. I think he's almost a guaranteed starter, at least. Raheem is going to start. He has to start. There's no way he's dropping Raheem Sterling for anything. And then that leaves Jack Grealish, that leaves Phil Foden, that leaves Mason Mount, we haven't seen a lot as well. There is a lot of potential within that front, within that three supporting Harry Kane. But I do think Saka's definitely nailed on to start and Sterling's nailed on to start. The other position, that final third spot, is actually up for grabs. But in a game like this, against a pragmatic counter-attacking Ukraine, I would like to see someone who is either efficient at moving the ball and making key passes, and or someone who is great at winning free kicks. And that only leads to one man. That's the one man that we all love. It's Jack Grealish. I think he can do a good number in securing position high up at the pitch. So even if he's left on his devices, Kane's dropped off to do what he wants to do, and Jack's gone up to win a ball and then get a free kick, that secures us position. I think that's going to be very key to keep Ukraine away from our goal. Again, the counter-attack is really frightening for me. I think Zinchenko has got incredible mentality. He's a decent crosser and passer of the ball, and he's pretty much a second captain for this team. So I think he is a dangerous player to look out for. So I think having someone like Jack to win position, to win balls, to win those free kicks, even if we're not going to be spectacular at set pieces, I still think he's going to be a key player.
I think, Bud, you mentioned about, the scores being 1-0, 0-0. I think if you want to stop that trend, you put all the attackers on in this game, because we all know that Ukraine are not going to possess the biggest, attacking threat in terms of quality. For example, when you're against Germany, you can understand why you're playing a three at the back with the two defensive midfielders. But here, I'll say, Jack Grealish, you're playing. Phil Foden, you're playing. Mason Mount, you're playing, but you're playing deeper. Calvin Phillips is next to you. Raheem Sterling, you're on the pitch. Harry Kane, let's take this team to the sword. Let's show what we're about. Let's put out a statement why we can potentially be champions. And I think England needs to try and win this game convincingly, because if they do, I think they send a lot of warning signs to the rest of the tournament.
100%. That's a very interesting point, actually, there, Dot. And still on the topic of the starting 11, we've been speaking about consistency and continuity and whatnot, and we found a very good pair that works quite well in Calvin Phillips and Declan Rice. And the fact that they have all the legs to get up and down, they're covering so much ground, and have really been the heart of that engine room in the midfield. But we have seen, certain players start to get leggy, people pulling up with injuries, pulling muscles and hamstrings and all that kind of stuff. And so thinking about the stage of the tournament now and obviously trying to plan ahead, do you continue with that same pair in midfield? Do you look at potentially bringing one off later on in the game? How would you sort of deal with and navigate that situation? Of course, Henderson, he's fit, but he hasn't played much. Do you go and do you start him? Do you bring him on? How do you deal with that situation, Dot?
I think the one thing about Jordan Henderson is that he's not going to let you down. For me, he's the captain of the team. I know Harry Kane wears the armband, but we all know how important Jordan Henderson is in the dressing room. And it's not just that. He's got the quality. His passing ability is one of the best. His tackling ability. He's an engine room. He offers leadership on the pitch. So bringing him in is a win for England, regardless of how good Declan Rice or Calvin Phillips are playing, because I'm massive fans of them. I'm big on them. I've said it all tournament that for me, that is a solid base. And if you want to win tournaments, you need a solid base. And that's what they offer. Yes, they may be a bit more adventurous on the ball, but they're not in the team to do that. And they're doing the job that the manager wants them to do. But as for rotating the midfield, I think there's an opportunity here. England are the better team than Ukraine. England have better talent, better quality all over the pitch. Make some changes, play attacking football, put out a statement, and let's go to the finals.
I love that mentality. Yeah, and to grow on it, I think you've convinced me to start Henderson, at least start him, see how well he goes. Can he reach 60 minutes? Can he reach half time? That sort of thing. And then bring on Rice to shore up, because, yeah, we saw Rice go down with some cramp in the Germany game, and he had an outstanding game in that Germany game. If we can get him rested a little bit, back fit, active. And then also if he comes in around halftime, around that 60 minutes, and he's got energy, then that's perfect. But then also at the same time, in a game, in knockout football, sometimes you have to grow into the game. And if you're slow to react and slow to grow into the game, you might not actually get into it. So it might be a tricky if he did come on at halftime around 60 minutes to support Henderson or to take on that role, especially to the level. And especially with Henderson coming back from an injury, not being 1,000% fully fit, but still able to do a job. It could be interesting and it could be detrimental if he does come on at that time and he's not fully fit, not really fully ready. So that could be the argument to start Rice. But for me, I think Calvin Phillips has done an amazing job. I think he's also a little bit fresher than Declan at the moment. And he's also got the ability to do both. So he can be a bit more adventurous, as we've seen. And he also can sit deeper, be a bit of a shield. He loves a strong challenge, and I love that too. So I think we've got some versatility and some support with Calvin Phillips on the field. So I think there's options, there's scope. But again, we can't write off this Ukraine land. We cannot. They're going to go at it.
Fearless.
Yeah. The thing is, the last one on this, I think with Ukraine, their mentality is to just drag teams down to their level. And if you start getting into a slugfest with them, you're going to be an issue. You're going to see some problems. And I think the one thing England need to avoid is giving away silly set pieces, because this Ukraine team, they can cause some serious, serious damage.
Yarmolenko, come on.
Moving on to the next game I wanted us to chat about is for me, is the pick of the bunch. I'm not going to lie. Belgium and Italy is going to be an absolutely tasty affair, right? And both of these teams have faced each other at major tournaments on four previous occasions, and Italy have never lost. They've actually won three and drawn one. And this is the fourth tournament consecutively that Italy have reached a quarterfinal of the Euros. And each of their previous three appearances at this stage have been decided by a penalty shootout, which is very, very interesting. But I think, I mean, looking at how dominant they've been so far this tournament, I think it's hard to see this game going to penalties. Also, with how free-flowing Belgium's attacking play has been as well, right? But I guess the key talking point ahead of this is around the availability of Kevin De Bruyne and Eden Hazard, and it's going to go right up to the wire. Before we know whether or not they're going to be featuring in this game. If they are fit, Ola, like, how do you see this game panning out?
We talked about our terrible predictions off air and how hard it has been to predict. But, Birg, I think you've been clairvoyant on this one. I'm going to say it's going to go to penalties. Like, this is a tight game. Italy are... they're fluid. They're not actually as defensive as they've been traditionally, but they are pragmatic and they're wily. They're very smart. They're very experienced, and they know how to play tournament football. They've got an excellent manager, an excellently styled manager, and they know how to play ball. Belgium, I need my big cousin Rom to really to really put the team on his back, because he's not going to have Kevin De Bruyne, I don't think, at least to start the game. And he's not going to have Eden Hazard. It's going to be very similar to the Denmark game, where they're going to be starting from the bench if they are fit. And I think even if they're not fit, I think they're going to definitely come off the bench, because this Italy side are no slouches at all. Mm. It's going to be a very, very tough game. It's either going to be really, really fluid and have quite a few goals, or it's going to have pretty much no goals at all. But either way, I still see this going all the way to the wire, going to penalties. Because it's going to be like a boxing match, and it's decided on points. They're going to last the whole 10 rounds, and we'll have to see what happens. there's a lot of danger. There's a lot of potential on the pitch. Obviously, you've got Lukaku, you've got Thorgan Hazard, who's playing amazing, and also you've got the talents of that Belgian squad. Even if they haven't shown up amazingly so far, you still got Yuri Tielemans, who's amazing.
Mm.
Dries Mertens is really, really handy. A lot of these players are very, very, very talented, and they can all change the game. Italy are probably the most complete squad and the complete team at this tournament, and you've seen them playing so well as a team, and so efficient and so together as a team. Mm. You've got incredible, incredible players in that forward line for Italy, and through the midfield with class as well. So it is a very tricky game to call. Mm. But yeah, for me personally, being very biased, I want Rom to do the business. but it's so hard to see past Italy. So hard to see past Italy.
Yeah, 100%. And do you echo those sentiments, Dot? Or do you have it a different way? Surely the whole Eden Hazard and KDB thing is such a monumental point in this.
Yeah, I've always said it. I mean, you take away Kevin De Bruyne, you take away Eden Hazard, and Belgium go from a tier one team to a tier two team. So I think in this game, they're going to be a tier two team.
Mm.
But although I've always said I think Italy will make the finals, I don't think Italy are an amazing team. I just think they're the best out of everyone at the moment. Mm. And I said it previously, you don't really want to peak too early in the tournament. And I like the way Belgium have progressed. They've been quiet. You know, they haven't played amazingly, but they're getting better as each game goes on. But just the lack of Hazard and Kevin De Bruyne for me is a big, big blow.
Mm.
And I think that's why I'm favouring Italy in this game. Mm. I think the midfield battle is going to be important, but I think the most important battle is Romelu Lukaku against the Belgium defence, against the Italy defence, because Romelu Lukaku, you know, he runs in behind, it's physical, but these Italy defenders, they know what they're doing. They're clever. They will leave gaps, let them run to the channels where they can't really create any danger. So I think Italy are going to have enough to manage Belgium's attack because there's no De Bruyne and Hazard. I think if you added those two into the starting lineup, I think Belgium win this game. And I've always said it, anything other than the semi-finals for Belgium, for me, is failure. Because for me, this year and next year at the World Cup is their last chance to win a major tournament. And this is their golden era. And there's going to be no guarantees that they're going to have an era like this in the future.
Mm.
So for me, Belgium have to win this game or else, this is going to be tough for them to take.
You mentioned something very interesting there, Dot, in terms of the midfield battle. Mm. And particularly on the part of Italy, surely there is going to be quite a bit of selection headache for Robert Mancini, because he's whatever midfield he's played have performed. You know, he's chopped and changed things. He's had players come off on the bench and score, and literally every single one of those midfielders are playing at the top of their powers at the moment. You've got Pessina, you've got Locatelli, you've got Verratti, you've got so much to choose from. In this game, who would you say is likely to start in that midfield three of Italy?
Jorginho, I think, will start.
I didn't even mention Jorginho. I forgot Jorginho.
I think Verratti will start just for the big game know-how. And I think he'll probably stick with Barella again. But again, I sit here and I say on the ball, I think, wow, that midfield is amazing. But for me, the big thing in football is off the ball. What do you do off the ball? Do you stop those gaps from emanating? When, for example, the pace, the power, the technique of Kevin De Bruyne is running at you, can you keep up with him? Mm. And for me, I don't think that midfield can keep up. But again, the big problem is Kevin De Bruyne is not playing. So I expect Italy to dominate this game in terms of possession.
Mm. 100%. It does seem as though that really is the key thing, right? And we're going to have to obviously wait and see how things pan out when the team news is announced later on. What's interesting, though, is if we go on the assumption that Kevin De Bruyne and Eden Hazard aren't playing, How best do Belgium set up their midfield to try and get the most from the game? Is it that Doku plays from the left to cause that threat on that, down that side? What, you know, do they push Tielemans further out the pitch? Like, how do you think they best circumnavigate the issues that they have, Ola?
I think it's actually a great shout out Doku. He's got good pace. He's got good fitness. He's very active. Mm-hmm. Tielemans can do an excellent job defensively when he's on it. Mm-hmm. He's not always on it, but when he's on it, he can do a great job. I think we saw that in the FA Cup. He had a fantastic game. Obviously, he's got the winner, but also in the defensive side, he was intercepting a lot of balls and he was active. And Axel Witsel, when he's really on it, he's incredible. So I think if you play those three, and then they set up a sort of team pressing, sort of active pressing scenario system where one person says, okay, right, we're going to press this player, and then they're all three of them are going to press heavily and quickly. Mm. That could be possibly a way to navigate this Italy midfield. But then I say that, the Italy midfield is so press resistant. It's unbelievable.
They've all got on the ball. Quality. They're all amazing. So, yeah.
Exactly. So much quality. So intercepting or taking the ball off of Marco Verratti and Jorginho.
With Verratti, don't bother.
Just don't bother. So I was thinking how do I approach this? Because I was it's obviously it's a football match. It's like counterpunching and that type of thing. But literally, I had nothing in my head. I was like, I don't actually think you can actually really tackle that midfield with anything because they are so press resistant. It's really, I think, the retention of the ball and who has the most possession is going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I think it really depends. I think for me, it would be Italy dominating possession, or it'd be free flowing and no real team holds on to it for more than 30 seconds because they're both going for penetrating passes because they can, literally because they can. Yeah, Belgium have to play penetrating passing and Italy have the quality to do that. And I think that's going to be one of their key points to get at Belgium. But it's going to be tricky for Belgium, man.
Yeah.
It's going to be tricky.
I think 100%. Very quickly, last one before we move on. I'm just thinking from an England perspective, I've got my England hat on again. And I think Belgium's the only team that will beat England, if I'm being totally honest. So I think...
Talk about nailing your colours to the mast.
I do think so. I just think that Belgium team, they're dangerous, man. They've got the quality, they've got the know-how, they've got world-class players all over the pitch. I think England will fancy their chances against everyone else in the tournament. Not saying England are going to beat everyone else in the tournament, but in terms of fancying their chances, I think 100%. But I think that Belgium team, if Kevin De Bruyne are... Eden Hazard, Lukaku are all fully fit, that's going to be a big issue.
We've all mentioned the fact that this whole prediction thing hasn't really worked out for us so far this tournament because there's been upsets and things happening left, right and centre. And Spain has been that team for me because I've been saying, right, the first part of the tournament, they've seemed a bit toothless for all of their dominance. They just didn't seem like they had that cutting edge up front. And then last two games have been like, right, hold my beer and have become the first team in European championship history to score 5+ goals in consecutive games, right? And all of a sudden, they've got... the thing about it is, although they haven't got one prolific goal scorer, they've got goals from all over the pitch, right? And people that can chip in. So you've got Sarabia, you've got Morata, you've got Oyarzabal. From the midfield, you know, you've got players that can chip in and stuff. And I think that's part of the reason why they've been so dangerous of late. And of course, going into the next game, you've got them who are free-flowing in their attacking play and scoring goals. But you've also got Switzerland who are riding the crest of a wave after knocking out, you know, the competition favourites in France. So that's a very interesting dynamic. Going into this game, and I guess I wanted to get your thoughts to kick off with this one, Ola, on how you see this one going. This is a real clash of heavyweights to a certain extent, judging on their most recent performances.
Exactly. Like, what I think is either Switzerland are going to have a headache, a hangover even from being in France and the joy of that, or it's going to be a goal fest. And I want a goal fest. I want to see all the goals. Spain is tore at the sheet, scoring goals from all over the place in all sorts of manner. We've seen them score like a wild, wild goal from a crossfielder free kick. And we've seen them score some intricate goals, some mad goals, some incredible finishes. It could be insane. It could be a massive, massive battle with hopefully 3+ goals. Mm-hmm. Or it could be Spain just saying, all right, hold this, and just outclass in Switzerland as they're too hyped up from their last game. It's going to be interesting regardless. I think Mbolo obviously going to start. I think he's going to be very key, especially for the first half of this match, in terms of putting pressure on Spain, as he has been doing for every single match that he's played. Mm. I think, oh my days, I'm forgetting his name because he needs to leave Arsenal. But it's Granit Xhaka, there we go. I think Xhaka is going to be key again. His mentality has been insane. He's got the freedom, and he's also got the ability to drop back and help out his defense.
I think that's actually a key one, you know, Ola, because correct me if I'm wrong, but I think because he picked up a yellow card in the game against France, I think he misses this game. Ooh. I think Granit Xhaka misses this game, and he was the man of the match in that France game. So that obviously changes a lot, doesn't it?
Exactly. No, if that's true, and if he misses out, it could be a little bit simpler actually in terms of prediction, and it might really be like Spain walking this. And I say walking, they haven't looked amazingly convincing, but they have scored a bag of goals, and you can't discredit that. They've got the ability to create, and they've got the ability to finish. So I think with that knowledge, I think this should be a bit easier to call for Spain. But I say that with through gritted teeth because our predictions are all over the place. But that's what I'm thinking.
And how about at your end, Doc?
I think you guys are sleeping. I really do. Spain's performance against Croatia was scary. It was, because you go 1-0 down to a goal like that, a known goal, out of nowhere. Mentally, it is tough. Mm. And for them to come back and score 5 goals, that's unreal. That was an amazing performance. Yes, I knew they had a few shaky defensive moments, but to score 5 goals against a good Croatia team, that's a statement. Mm. And for me, Spain over the years have been my number one team when it comes to watching, because I love the way they play the game. I love the way they manipulate the ball, monopolize possession, you know, progressive passes. People like Thiago can't even get on the football pitch. That's how stacked they are when it comes to midfield talent. But genuinely, like, I think Spain are growing into this tournament because, yes, at the beginning, they didn't look great. But I said it. I did say it. They're creating chances. And if you keep creating chances, eventually you're going to knock the goals in. Morata, what a finish against Croatia. Gets his goal. He's got his confidence. The crowd have taken to him. Like, they're in a good position. They're going to fancy their chances against Switzerland. And then it's potentially a semi-final. And we all know Spain over the years, once they start getting to the latter stages, it starts becoming really, really peak. So I'm scared of Spain. I know I'm saying this about every single team, but for me, this is the team I love watching the most, personally.
Very, very interesting.
I think they're going to destroy Switzerland. I do.
And you don't think the inclusion of Xhaka changes that at all? You think it's just... That it will be what it will be.
The way we're mentioning Xhaka, you would think he's on the world's best midfielders. Obviously, I know he's pivotal to what Switzerland do, but I just think Spain are going to have too much in this game. I think a lot of people have question marks over their defence, but I think it's actually good. I think they had a bit of a blip against Croatia, but I think throughout the tournament, they've defended well. Because when it was 3-1, I thought that was game over, because I trust them defensively. But Croatia had a late surge, got 2 late goals, and fair enough, it happens. But man, like Rodri, Premier League winner, Thiago, I mean, one of the best midfielders of this generation. They don't get in the football pitch. That's the kind of talent they have in Spain. And I just want to shout out Pedri, because I think he's been the best young player of the tournament. He's been their main man. Anytime
he's keeping Spain, these guys out of the team that you mentioned.
It's give Pedri the ball and Pedri makes things happen. So
yeah.
It's scary.
100%. And I think just also on that point as well, Dot, on Pedri, why it's interesting, because you spoke about the mentality to, after going a goal down, to come back and rally up the troops and score that many goals. But he was heavily involved in that own goal. But after, the way he wanted the ball, he was like a man possessed. Like,
I had
after
to double
he was...
check his age, because he was 27. Because that performance, you can't do that when you're 18. It's not, that should be banned for 18-year-olds. You can't, how are you performing like that? Like, he's a ridiculous talent.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I'm certainly going to be looking forward to seeing him again in that Spanish midfield. Okay, to round things up, we've obviously also got to chat about the game between Czech Republic and Denmark. And I think it's been a great story for both of these nations, man, up until this point, you know. And I think that the theme of there not being an inferiority complex with the smaller nations has been a theme of this tournament. Like, all of the smaller nations that you would have typically expected to turn over and just allow the bigger nations to do with them what they please has not been the story of this tournament, you know. And these two are two such nations that have really just surprised so far in this tournament. Now, five of the last six matches between the two of them have ended as draws. But again, I might just have egg on my face, but I'm saying, right, judging from the results that these guys have had recently, obviously Czech Republic winning 2-0 against Netherlands, Denmark 4-0 against Wales, surely that indicates that this game can't end in a draw, another draw. Surely not. But anyway, let me know your thoughts on this one. Doc, kick us off with this
probably
one.
Probably end in a 2-2 draw. Not but I'm still shaking from that Denmark performance against Wales. Like, that was a punishing performance, man. Like, they were brilliant. I think in terms of quality, I think it's two evenly matched teams. I'm favouring with Denmark a bit because I just think that Christian Eriksen factor is just going to give them that extra edge to just run a bit more, to, you know, drive a bit more, to finish more emphatically, to just be a little bit hungrier than Czech Republic. And I expect Denmark to probably nick it, but I do think it's an evenly matched game.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it is like very easily evenly poised. I think there's a potential for Czech Republic to end the fairy tale, which would be upsetting, but even if they do, I think if they'll do it in a manner that is entertaining and is high quality. I think they've got the players to score real high quality goals and play a very professional football match. But like that Denmark dream, the passion, and also the quality as well. Kasper have had an incredible game against Wales, and they've got some incredible players there. It is very, very even. I don't want to say it, but I think this could be the game where Czech Republic crushes some dreams.
Oh, why?
I know. I spoiled it.
It's true, because Denmark have become the people's nation, isn't it?
Yeah,
really? It's you just want the love story to continue, ultimately. But it
I'm
will
happy
be...
to be wrong. I'm happy to be wrong.
Come on, it's cool. 100%. Again, it's gonna be very, very interesting to watch. And I absolutely can't wait for later on this afternoon. Lovely way to end the week as well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just with some really, really nice fixtures over this today and tomorrow. We will await those. And of course, we'll be back again next week to review each of the fixtures in this round and to obviously then preview the semi-finals. So we're going to leave it there for now. Thank you very much for tuning in up until this point in time. Thank you, gents, for sharing your views and your predictions and how you see all of these fixtures going. And until the next episode, we'll catch you then. Over and out.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.